Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Gina R. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, October 17th, 2018. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are at page 140, beginning with the third paragraph, Your Man Has Probably, reading through two paragraphs ending A Well Man. We'll comment on both paragraphs. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Carrie S., 12 Traditions, Cindy D. Our readers are Leslie W., Wendy M., and Liat T.D., and our newcomer greeter is Melanie C. The reference numbers for Tuesday, October 16th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 12,048, and Wednesday, October 17th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 12,054. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Carrie S. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Gina. Thank you for your service. This is Carrie S., recovered in Golden, Colorado. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service. I pass.
Thank you, Carrie S. I will now ask Cindy D. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Cindy D., recovering compulsive overeater in Texas. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for letting me be of service. I pass.
And thank you, Cindy D. So here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 140, the third paragraph, beginning, "Your man is probably," reading through two paragraphs, ending with, "A well man." Comments will be on both paragraphs. I will ask Leslie W. to begin reading.
Thanks so much for your service. This is Leslie W., recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. Your man has probably been trying to conceal a number of scrapes, perhaps pretty messy ones. They may be disgusting. You may be at a loss to understand how such a seemingly above board chap could be so involved. But these scrapes can generally be charged, no matter how bad, to the abnormal action of alcohol on his mind. When drinking or getting over a bout, an alcoholic, sometimes the model of honesty when normal, will do incredible things. Afterward, his revulsion will be terrible. Nearly always, these antics indicate nothing more than temporary conditions. This is not to say that all alcoholics are honest and upright when not drinking. Of course, that isn't so, and such people may often impose on you. Seeing your attempt to understand and help, some men will try to take advantage of your kindness. If you are sure your man does not want to stop, he may as well be discharged. The sooner the better. You are not doing him a favor by keeping him on. Firing such an individual may prove a blessing to him. It may be just the jolt he needs. I know in my own particular case that nothing my company could have done would have stopped me as long as I was able to hold my position. I could not possibly realize how serious my situation was. Had they fired me first, and had they then taken steps to see that I was presented with the solution contained in this book, I might have returned to them 6 months later, a well man. Okay, so I personally have never been an employer of someone who was an alcoholic or, to my knowledge, was a compulsive overeater. However, this does sort of remind me of sponsoring, because there are times when I encounter someone in the program who wants me to be, they'll ask me to be their sponsor, and I'll start taking them through the work and guiding them. But I soon discover that that they're not really interested in getting well. And they may say that they're interested in getting well, but their actions don't show me that. I've had the experience of people clinging to me because of my mannerisms, my kindness, my compassion. And so I do have to be careful about that. I can also see myself in this position because when I was in the food, I was always taking from people. And really, what I needed was a good swift kick in the pants. I didn't need any convalescence or compassion, really, at that time, because I just took that. I kind of did the same thing that I was describing before. So, you know, if I felt like someone had compassion towards me, then I might take advantage of that kindness and compassion because I liked it. I liked feeling like poor, pitiful victim. There was a part of me that wanted to be petted in that way. And so, especially with my husband. And so, yeah, if I was this person, I would have fired me. You know, I would have fired when I was in my disease, I would have fired me too. And that would have been just what I needed, to be honest. I needed a dose of truth. That's what I needed. I need somebody who was willing to tell me the truth. And thank God I got that when I dialed this number and got onto this line. So with that, I pass.
Thank you for being spot on with your timing. All right. So we will now take names of people who would like to share, who would like to comment on those two paragraphs.
Kelly T.
Wendy M.
Jan B.
Julie E.B.
Did you get Wendy?
Oh. Here's who I have. Kelly T. E., Wendy M., Jan B., Julie E.B. Are there a couple more?
Freya H.
All right, well, let's go with that. And so we've got Kelly T., Wendy M., Jan B., Julie E.B., and Freya H. Kelly T., please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Kelly T. from New York City. I finally was able to get on, and it's amazing that every time I get on, I hear something I really needed to hear today. This passage has brought me back to where I was when I first got into the rooms. And I'm the fellow who's been through seven sponsors because I wasn't willing to do the work. I was in the rooms every day, poor me, day one. Oh, poor Kelly, nothing goes my way. I'm the only one going through this. And I got fired by different people because they saw in me that I wasn't ready. I had to hit a bottom. And it is a disservice to keep leading people on and try to help them because they're dragging me with me. You know, we drag each other together instead of helping them. It's a disservice. And as a sponsor, it's hard to let go of the sponsee sometimes because it's like, my ego gets in the way, oh, but I could save them. But then I have to humble myself and remember that I can't save anyone. I'm just a guide. I'm here to carry them through the steps. That's all. And they need to find their own connection with a higher power. And with my experience, I had to hit bottom. Not until my sixth sponsor, not even then I hit the bottom. I was still playing with my controlling certain foods. Not until I met my seventh sponsor, then I was willing and ready to do whatever she suggested. I was ready, no excuses. You want me to do this? Boom, 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 boom. I got it done. I took action. Because if I don't take action for my own recovery, I'm doomed. I'll be back in the food. So it's like a daily reprieve. I had to take those actions. And these passages mean a lot to me because of that. Because it humbles me when I'm sponsoring somebody new. And I can tell more or less if they're ready or not. But I do give them the benefit of the doubt and see where it goes. I give them a chance, but if I see it doesn't, and they're not taking action, they're not really ready, I do have to let them go and find somebody else who's willing to do the work. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kelly T. Wendy M., you'll be next, followed by Jan B. Please go ahead, Wendy.
Yes, good morning to Wendy M., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado, and Gina R., thank you for your service and everyone on the line. And I do thank God for entire abstinence. I always say that it is harder, it's easier to be entirely abstinent than to be in the food. And I'd love to talk to people who are having a hard time this morning. Feel free to find my name, Wendy M., in the directory. Happy to talk. So a couple things. The first word is conceal. And, you know, if you saw how I really was, like if you were in my car when I'm alone and how I drive or the fact that, you know, am I texting while I'm driving, all of it, like I conceal, right, a lot of my behavior until I'm willing to bring it to light. But a lot of the disease was concealing, right, all the time, literally eating in the dark so that no one would know and that I could pretend, be in fantasy, that I wasn't really eating. So if it's in the dark, it's okay. If my behavior's in the dark, it's okay. And it's not. I'm really getting humbled lately in terms of my behavior. You know, currently trying to make the boyfriend my higher power, my ease and comfort. And the ways that I do that are unbelievable. Like God is revealing to me and showing me constantly the behaviors, the concealed, so to speak, concealed behaviors. And, you know, once I can shine a light on these, I have choice, which is to go to God, right? I'm powerless over all these behaviors I'm trying to conceal. But I am willing, you know, with God's help, with all of your help, to shine the light on these concealed behaviors. The next thing I want to say is that it says these antics, right, indicate nothing more than temporary conditions. And I'm like, amen, sister, like, that gives me so much hope. It tells me that I have a learning curve here, that I learn daily, right? And that the hope is these are baby steps for me to see my behavior, to really shine the light, and then to learn from that, to call all of you and to learn from you through God, right? And that's really good news. Temporary conditions. We are growing daily, you know. And then this word jolt, right? So I'm in a trance until I'm jolted out of it. And the best way for me to get jolted out of it is to make contact with all of you. Again, you are God with skin. And I get jolted out, or I get jolted because I'm in pain, right? Things aren't going Wendy's way a lot lately, right? Like, God, give me what I want. I want relief, right? And God says to me, actually, I want you to grow here. You're growing tremendously, right? And that's that learning curve. But is my head on straight? My head says, yes, this is a learning opportunity. Yes, it is painful, and I am growing like leaps and bounds, and God wants me to grow, right?
Time.
God is going to turn more and more light on me for that growth. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Wendy M. Jan B., you're up next, followed by Julie E.B. Jan, please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Jan B. in Colorado, and so grateful for this meeting and grateful for all the people that did service to put this on. I really appreciate it. And this reading, these two paragraphs really give me a perfect example of a lot of the ideals that I ended up with after working the steps and, you know, having the ideals for my life. But I really sense the loving, caring honesty with boundaries. And that is so lovely and a perfect example of how I really would like to conduct my life on a daily basis. You know, the boundaries of saying if you're not ready to change, you're not doing your job, firing is a blessing. And that could really be the jolt that puts forth the truth about the situation. Because if the person just continued on doing what they're doing, they'll always keep doing what they're doing, and the change just won't come forth. So I really like the way it's been presented to exercise those boundaries. And being able to speak the truth with the person in a kind and loving way. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jan B. Okay, Julie E.B., you're up next. You'll be followed by Freya H. And then I'll take a new lineup after Freya. So if you'd like to share, get your star one muscle ready. Julie, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered one day at a time here in Colorado. And I just really appreciate this description, the honesty of this description. I mean, number of scrapes almost makes light of some of the things I experienced. For me, my truest bottom really came as I realized that I was taking food from my employer, and even I didn't need the $2. That wasn't it. I had resentment, and I thought then that I was owed something, and this manifestation of my disease horrified me. I told my sponsor, who's still in the food and in a lot of chaos, and they said, oh, okay, we'll talk later. So I called someone else in program, and they're like, oh, no, I've done that, and I've done that, and I've, you know, done that. And it was then that a sponsor through Vision came into my meeting that next week, and I was just ready to go. I was realizing that I could lose my job, my livelihood, the things my family depended on, my reputation. So I was disgusted, and these were abnormal actions, and they didn't really fit with who my higher power created me to be. But I had resentments and fears, and I hurt people, and I couldn't look myself in the mirror. So I put down the food and became more and more willing. I had a loving higher power. I got through the steps to see what those pieces are, and things began to change. I like to think of myself as above board chap, but there's so many hidden foods and hidden behaviors that were there. So as the employer is looking at this person and thinking maybe they're above board chap, and then this seems very strange, I had that same experience, and the people in my life did as well. I also like the section that said some will impose on you. I think this is an essential part of my disease, that I will impose on others, wanting the world around me to change, thinking my employer should change, maybe be nicer or easier, that my family should change or my husband should change or my mother should change. And as long as I was imposing on others, I couldn't get true recovery because I was always a victim. And now that my higher power is changing me and showing me who I can be, I'm able to make that spiritual progress, onward movement towards a goal. Not perfection, but onward movement towards a goal. So I'm really appreciating this section and the ways that the world sees me are quite different sometimes than how I'm seeing myself. And then when I do wake up and see myself with remorse, I really need to turn to this program and my fellows. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
And thank you so much, Julie E.B. Okay, Freya H., you will be next. And then our next group will be coming up. And just as a reminder for everybody, we are on page 140. Third paragraph, which starts, your man has probably, we're reading through two paragraphs, ending a well man, and we're commenting on both. Please go ahead, Freya.
Thank you. This is Freya H. in Colorado, compulsive eater bulimic. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Gina. And everybody for sharing. I just love how much richness there is, especially after hearing, you know, hearing everybody else's experience. And the line that really jumped out at me on page 141 is, I know in my own particular case, nothing my company could have done would have stopped me. And it is very clear to me when I think back to my disease, how if I wasn't ready, I wasn't ready. There was nothing anyone could have said or done. And people did say and do things, but it just didn't sink in. I wasn't, even if I had the experience of people coming directly to me with the message of 12-step recovery, I just wasn't ready for it. And to practice compassion and understanding for where I was at that time helped me so much when I am working with people today. And I love hearing people talk about, you know, how this really applies. This is like more directions for step 12. They're all through here. And it reminds me that I don't need to, it's not up to me to do this thing for anyone else, because nothing could have helped me until I was ready. So when I think about also the work environment and thinking about my own experience, I was, you know, quote unquote, in recovery for all of my adult life. The part that I really relate to is not being in the food, but being in self. And, you know, if I put self in here instead of, you know, I put the word self instead of alcohol, then I really relate to this. You know, the things like it was the abnormal action of alcohol on his mind. For me, the abnormal action of self on my mind, you know, when I'm obsessed with self, when I'm in fear, doubt, and insecurity, I do incredible things. My revulsion is terrible. But thank God they are temporary conditions, as it says here. So I'm so grateful that I get to do this program, and that no one expects me to do it perfectly, that it really is a process, it's a skill set, it's a design for living. And when it comes to carrying the message, all I do is carry, you know, share my own experience, strength, and hope, and I let other people have their process. And I've been noticing lately that I've been taking on my sponsee's recovery, and I don't need to do that, and this is such a wonderful reminder. So thank you, everybody, for sharing and doing this work and helping this come alive, and I will pass.
Thank you, Freya H. Okay, we are ready for a new batch of folks who want to comment on these two paragraphs. Who would like to be included?
Sue.
Yes.
I heard
Pia
a Sue.
Yes.
And Pia S. Sue, what's your last initial?
M is in Mary.
Gotcha. Who else besides Sue and Pia? Anyone else want to share on these two paragraphs? Press star 1 to unmute. Okay, we'll go with these two for now, and then the rest of you can muster up whatever you need to share. We want to hear from you, especially newcomers. All right, Sue, you'll go first, and then Pia, you'll be after Sue. Please go ahead, Sue.
Hi, this is Sue M. in Northern Virginia. I am new. I do have a sponsor. I am working through the steps. I'll be giving my step five, this Saturday. And my sponsor said, you need to share. So I'm doing it. And because I don't feel like I have anything worthwhile to share. So the thing that struck me is about readiness. Because in the past, I've been in OA, and I really think, and I did lose a lot of weight, and I kept most of it off, and that was good, but at a certain point, it was like I couldn't keep going, and I think that there was, like, I think I was 90% convinced that I was powerless, but today, hopefully, dear God, I'm 100% convinced that I'm powerless over it, And that's what I need, that just reminder, because I forget. I think I can handle it, but I'm powerless over, you know, the food obsession and then the willingness to do what I need to do. And I'm just learning. And my sponsor asked me to write about something last night when we talked, and I'd forgotten about that. And so I'm going to try to do that. I mean, not try. I am going to do that today. Because I want to get better, and I don't, I mean, if people look at me, I'm not, you know, I'm not obese the way I was 7 years ago, or I was morbidly obese. I stopped weighing myself at 215, and now I'm about 10 pounds overweight, but that 10 pounds is, it's been the last 2 years, just obsession with food, and I truly want it lifted. Anyway, thank you all for being here, and with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Gina, are you there? Star one? If not, Pia S., you're next.
Oops, sorry about that. Thank you so much, Sue M. Yes, Pia S., you're next. And then we'll have time for several more after you, Pia. Go ahead.
Gina, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you, Gina. Thank you for your service. This is Pia S., recovered compulsive overeater in Parkland, Florida. And I was inspired this morning to share I had a different take on this because when I came into program, I heard about the work that I needed to do in the program. I was just like, oh my God, it was too much. And I also hear that when I talk to people, a lot of people get discouraged because they feel like it's, you know, too much work, having to listen to meetings, calling in, you know, preparing food, working the steps. Yeah, it's so much work. But what I think about when I was working, right now I'm a stay-at-home mom, but, you know, working full-time. And before, and I remember I was so, when I was at work, I was so tired from having all of these binge foods that I used to take naps at lunch. And I wasted a lot of time with that, and going to the bathroom to eat. Also going from store to buy stuff. And then taking time out from work to go and buy my binge foods that I couldn't eat in the office, but I needed to eat out of the office. And all the thoughts that I had about foods, all the time I spent preparing binge foods, fantasizing about the future, calling in sick, all the time that I wasted for myself and my employer with calling in sick, using my creativity to make binge foods out of my abstinence foods, and watching, you know, wasting time watching television or shopping, you know, to film me. And so today I'm able to, you know, enjoy an abstinent way of living. Instead of going out for napping at lunch, I can meditate. Instead of walking into the bathroom to eat my binge food, I can pray and pause in there. Instead of going from store to store, I can, spend time preparing my food, and I can work the steps. And instead of thinking about food all the time, I can be present in conversation. And fantasizing about the future, I can live here and now. And calling in sick, I'm so grateful that I'm able to make a living. And my creativity, I can use in solving problems in my life instead of using my creativity to make binge foods. And so I just encourage newcomers to do this work, because this work does free up a lot of work that we waste in the food and in the morbid reflections that we have. So work the steps, and you will get there. Thanks for letting me share, Gina. I'll pass.
Thank you, Pia S. Okay, we do have room for several more shares. Who would like to jump in?
Yeah, D.
Darcy D.
Start again. I heard
Nancy L.
Lucy
Darcy
L.
Nancy
Darcy
L.
Anne B.
Okay,
MJ.
Hold on a second. I've got Lucy L., Darcy, Liatchi D., Anne. Who am I missing?
Patty
MJ.
T.
Patty T. And who was the other one?
MJ.
MJ. All right, I'm going to stop there. I hope we can get to all of you. Lucy L., Darcy didn't get the initial, Liat T D, Anne B., Patty T., and MJ. Lucy L., please go ahead.
Okay, thank you so much. And it's Nancy L. in Arizona. Thanks for your service. Firing such an individual may prove a blessing to him. It may be just the jolt he needs. Well, not for me. When I got fired, I just got mad. I always blamed everyone else, you know. I could not possibly realize how serious my situation was, and that was the truth. I mean, I just fought everyone, because I thought they're all against me and so on and so forth. Just all the sick thinking that goes on for an addict. Just sick, sicker and sicker with every year. At the age of 55, I finally got a jolt, but it was kind of a different type of jolt. It was a jolt like, I can't do this anymore. I've tried everything in the whole wide world, and I cannot do this anymore, and I'm going to take my life. Now, that was a jolt, because I thought, oh, man, Nancy, what are you thinking? You're thinking of taking your life? And that was it. I thought to myself, you know, I think I'm going to go and get in the Yellow Pages. I wonder if that OA thing is still going on. And one thing led to another, another, another. I was really slow to get that revolutionary change in my heart and in my mind. It came slowly. It came slowly. That spiritual jolt came slowly. But I have it today. I'm so grateful. I have it for these 24 hours. So grateful. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nancy L. Okay, we've got Darcy L. and Liat T. D. next. Darcy, please go ahead. Darcy? Am I being heard?
Okay, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Hello?
Darcy, please go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's good.
Oh, okay, great. This is Darcy C. from Kentucky. And I'm extremely new to all of this, just kind of walking into OA. And it is a little overwhelming. You know, all this, I think someone spoke a minute ago and said it can be overwhelming. There's so much to learn and do and, you know, to get recovery. But I do believe that I'm ready. I'm definitely not new to the struggles with food. It's been, you know, the last 30 years. So, but I'm grateful for what I'm hearing on these calls. I have been just listening to the recorded calls. And I'm pretty excited. I was a little discouraged with my first actual meeting here. I looked it up online. There's only a couple available, and I went, and I was the only one there. So thank you all for all the recovery I'm finding here. I am currently looking for a sponsor and just my next steps. But as far as the readiness or, you know, just the employer situation, I was thinking it didn't really apply to me because I've been my own boss for the last 16 or 17 years. But then I started thinking about in college and just out of college when I did a lot of babysitting jobs and thinking about the many times that, you know, I got snacks for kids, but yet I helped myself to enough for them and the whole neighborhood. And just thinking, you know, that was stealing. And, you know, I never thought that thought at the time. But now, as I look back, I think, you know, that's exactly what that was. And even working for myself, you know, there have been so many days when I've been sick with the food that, you know, I haven't, quote unquote, shown up for myself. I haven't done what I needed to do because I was depressed and feeling shame and guilt and struggling. So if I had been working for someone else, I don't think I would have been allowed. I know I wouldn't have been allowed to get by with some of those things. So that's all I wanted to share. It was my first time sharing, and I appreciate you all for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Darcy C. And if you haven't introduced yourself as a newcomer, we do invite you to stay on after the recording ends. We do have a time to welcome newcomers and for you to offer your contact information. Okay, we've got Liat TD next, and Ann B. is after Liat. Liat, please go ahead.
Thank you, Gina. Good morning, everybody. When I was reading this, I mean, there's a lot of what was said is exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking about the person when I was reading it, because I know I was reading earlier this morning, and I noticed how, for some reason, it's harder for me to read this chapter because the language is different. I'm used to Bill's writing, and this is Hank P. who writes, who was a very successful businessman, you know, and at the time, 1939, there was no professional growth kind of programs. So alcoholics would be just thrown into asylums. And so, I'm also, I've been self-employed for years. And every class that I took, they would say that it's cheaper to train someone than to get a new employee. But what I was thinking about someone like me, a food addict, a compulsive overeater, I was thinking about the inconsistency. You know, based on my human power, I'm very inconsistent. You know, I would go to a class to be a good mom, and I'll start being a good mom, and then I can't stay a good mom. You know, I would, you know, try to be a good employer, and I can't stay that way. A good employee, I can't stay a good cleaning lady. I'm going to clean my house from now on every day. I can't stay on my own power. I can't stay consistent. I always drag myself to a place of, I'm a bum. I end up with dirty clothes, food stains all over me. I want to quit life, and I'm so grateful this program offers me a day at a time, a relationship with God. God has to do for me. I can't do for myself. So being a sponsor, being an employee, you know, I need God in this equation. I can't be consistent in anything. And I don't know if it makes sense to you, but I lost my track of thought, but I'm grateful for the program that allows me to continue on in line. No, it's perfect, and not perfect, just me, who God wants me to be, and I have to depend on God for that. Thanks, so fast.
Thank you, Liat TD. All right, we've got Ann B, and Patty T is after her. Ann, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Ann B., compulsive overeater. I don't like the word recovered, but I did celebrate 14 years of imperfect abstinence this week. And this chapter is about employers, and I've been listening to people talking about firing sponsees. And, you know, it's interesting, the jump. I have had the position of firing employees who were dysfunctional, an employee who was dysfunctional, and that's a very hard thing to do. But in terms of sponsees, it's totally different for me. My thinking was very much formed by going to a workshop or retreat by Laurie C. And in that, I heard that the reason we have a shortage of sponsors in OA is because people feel that they need to spend long periods of time every day speaking to sponsees at a particular time. And I, being a person of chaotic schedule, immediately jumped on that to say, okay, I'm not going to do that. And what I do with sponsees is I do not consider myself responsible for whether they're abstinent or not. I consider my responsibility is to teach them about the big book. And so I give them reading assignments and writing assignments. And I tell them that they're to call me if they have a question, and they're to call me if they've completed the assignment. They're not supposed to call me if they haven't done the assignment. Hello, Anne, I haven't done the assignment. Okay, I don't want those calls. And so my sponsees, if they're not doing the program, they fire themselves. I don't have to fire them. And I always have room for sponsees because most people aren't doing the work. That's okay. I figure if I get them even to read the big book, I've given them what they need to know to save themselves. And so I regard that as sort of my primary responsibility, make sure they read the big book. And then I give them a little quiz on steps 1 through 3 to make sure they understand concepts that I think are important. And if they don't do more, I don't fire them. Like I said, they fire themselves. And I try to have say that, if they're really working steps, I have one sponsor, who really is working steps but who hasn't been consistently asked. And I let her call because I believe that this process, if done properly, will lead to abstinence. And I don't believe in this idea that you have to be abstinent consistently all the time to work the steps because...
Time.
Okay, pass.
Thank you, Ann B. Okay, Patty T., you're next, followed by MJ, and we've only got 4 minutes left, so I'm going to give you each 2 minutes. Please go ahead, Patty T.
Okay, hi, everybody. Thank you, moderator. I just had to share this amazing experience I had this week. A year ago, at least a year ago, the office, operations officer at my local office, loaned me a parking card to use for a doctor's appointment so I wouldn't have to pay parking twice that day and or when I drove in. And then he told me I could keep it and use it as needed. And as I got deeper into the food and deeper into my disease and more resentful and more entitled, I began to use the card more and more and more. And, here I was getting free parking when everybody else in my office, including the attorneys that I work for, have to pay. And it didn't bother me a bit, like in my disease. The other day, I've been coming to the vision meetings and I've been recovered since I think June or something. And the other day I was looking for this guy in the office. This was last week. And I asked him, where is he? Is he out on vacation? And they said, oh, no, he's working in our Houston office, and we're not sure where he's going to be after that. And all of a sudden, I don't know, this miracle happened. Immediately, my head went, I need to get that parking card back to him. I need to turn that back in before he leaves. If he leaves the firm, I need to give him that back. He's probably forgotten. And I've been taking advantage of a loan, a lot of advantage. So I ended up doing a 10th step about it because it was really clear. My sponsor said to pray, to write, and to talk to other fellows about it. I got guidance from a wonderful fellow. And then I went in yesterday and I emailed him.
Time.
To say, it all worked out. And I'm living on my own resources today. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Patty T. Okay, MJ, you're next, and you'll be our last share today.
Alrighty. I'm recently new to OA and also to Vision, and I just wanted to say that all of this reading and everyone who has spoken, thank you, because what has become evident to me is that in life and in our jobs and in this program, there are boundaries and there are consequences. And the raw truth sometimes is what we need. The other day was my birthday, and I was with my sponsor. And I was having a poo-poo party because I thought it should be a special day, and I was very confused, and I was very emotional, which sometimes leads me to eating. So I said, you know, but shouldn't I be special? And she says, how's that working for you? And I started to laugh because after 58 years, I realized that it is a day, and it doesn't, you know, all these things that we think in life, and they take over our minds. We deceive ourselves. We should have it our way, you know, as some advertisements tell us. And it's just refreshing to know that boundaries are good, that discipline, especially in the program, is good, that consequences in our jobs or in our workplaces, in our homes, in our lives, that we can grab hold of this, and with the help of others and with the help of this program, that if we look at things truthfully and others help us to see things truthfully and the consequences that we have in life, if we can just see this
time
through. Thank you. And thank you. I pass.
Thank you. All right, MJ, you will be our last share today. We will now close close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Wendy M. please read A Vision for You? Wendy?
Yes, good morning. It's Wendy M. Thanks, Gina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. You will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.